Hey guys, good afternoon and welcome to the 330 Sports Show. My name is Justin Coffin and today is Tuesday, June 22nd, 2021. We're live from downtown Youngstown, Ohio and produced by the Youngstown Studio Network. We have phone lines open. I forgot to ask. Phone lines are open, 330-595-1600. Again, 330-595-1600. Feel free to call in. We have a very, I'm going to call it a very diverse show today. We have a lot of fun things, topics on the board we're going to get to. So we have a ton to catch up on in the NBA. We are now in the NBA's Final Four, the Eastern and Western Conference Finals. We'll talk about that a little bit. We're going to check on the Cleveland Indians, the Tribe, and we'll maybe talk about the new rule about the sticky substances that was just put in place yesterday. So they're checking pitchers basically for banned substances. If we have time, we'll get to that. And we'll take a look at the Indians, basically triage of, bodies that are down right now. So they have a ton of, basically their whole pitching staff right now is down. So we'll talk about that. There's some NFL, newsworthy, topics we'll dive into a little bit. We're going to, also visit a couple other wacky stories. We will touch on golf a little bit. We will touch on the NHL a little bit. So I'm going to kind of be all over, but some of the wacky stories from this past week, some involve sports, some do not. Some involve Northeast Ohio, some do not. So we will get into that. But as always, it is Tuesday, and we're going to start with our top five Tuesday in a few minutes. The very first thing I want to do, though, is give you a little preview of Thursday's show. Thursday's show is going to be a complete breakdown of the movie Happy Gilmore. I'm really excited for this. I've done like about 8 pages of notes and a ton of things I had no idea about that movie, but it is so freaking good. I just rewatched it last Friday, and it's almost, it had been a while since I had seen it, and it's still as good as I remember. The movie still holds up really, really, really well. So we are going to do a whole complete breakdown of that movie on Thursday. For you guys, if you remember, we did Groundhog Day back in the month of February, and that was a lot of fun, but we're going to have a ton of good stuff there. So are you playing something for me here?
Nope.
All right, so go ahead.
Might as well. Oh! You like that, man? You want a piece of me?
I don't want a piece of you. I want the whole thing.
Oh, man, Bob really giving it. By the way, interesting fact, and this will be on the broadcast, but do you know Bob Barker was a black belt in karate?
No.
And guess who he studied under?
Who?
Chuck Norris. He didn't. Yes, he did.
How do you get Chuck to study under Norris? Chuck Norris?
I mean, he's Bob Barker, for God's sakes. And by the way, when he was in that movie, he was 72 years old then doing that movie. So what does that put him at? 97 right now. Dang. So my God. But
the price pretty, is wrong.
Price is wrong, bitch. So great stuff there. It's so much fun. I'm going to talk about Adam Sandler here in just a minute. Happy Gilmore again. That will be our movie breakdown for Thursday. We're going to have a ton of things you had never known about that movie. A ton of things I didn't even know about it. Including mistakes. We found a bunch of mistakes in the movie, but all in good fun. So I'm going to move on now. I thought for our top five Tuesday lists, it'll load eventually. But once it loads, we're going to do, in the theme of Adam Sandler, I thought it'd be fun to do a top five list of my personal favorite Adam Sandler movies. And I put some honorable mentions on there, and I'm going to talk to you about these. And Joe, feel free to chime in, because I know you like a lot of these. So I'm going to start with number five. Number five for me is The Waterboy. So I'm going to give you the basic breakdown. I know everyone probably knows it, but a 31-year-old Bobby Boucher is constantly tormented by the team he works for until he is fired by the coach. He then finds a new coach to work for. By the way, it's the Fonz. He finds a new talent, tackling people by pretending they're making fun of him. Soon, he becomes the best linebacker in college football, but he must keep a secret from his overprotective mother. Bobby! Such a great, it is really a dumb but great funny movie. There's so many cameos in that movie, but Kathy Bates plays his mom. Coach Klein, like I said, is the Fonz. Rob Schneider's in that movie. You can classically remember, you can do it.
You can do it.
And he's also got his buddies in the movie that are in so many movies with him. Their names are Peter Dante and Alan Covert. And like I said, a ton of cameos. I think Terry Bradshaw's in there. Lynn Swan. Who'd we else talk about? Lawrence Taylor's in there. The don't smoke crack. So we got a lot of that. Number four on my list is Mr. Deeds. So when Longfellow Deeds, a small town pizzeria owner and poet, inherits $40 billion from his deceased uncle, he quickly begins rolling in a different kind of dough. Moving to the big city, Deeds finds himself besieged by opportunists, all gunning for their piece of the pie. Babe, a television tabloid reporter, poses as an innocent small town girl. Instead, ultimately, Deeds comes to find that money truly has power to change things, but it doesn't necessarily need to change him. That's well written.
You know? I still look for Winchester Tunfieldville.
Tunfieldville, Iowa, I believe, too, which somehow in the movie exists, and I love it. So I put it, I don't know if you guys can see it on screen. It's really, really small because I had to make the font small, but it says, this was one of the cards he wrote, and I love this because he wrote greeting cards. That was kind of like his hobby. So full of love, my heart's exploding. Mouth is dry, hands are shaking. My heart is yours for the taking. Acting weird, not myself. Dancing around like the Keebler elf. Finally time for this poor schlub to know how it feels to fall in love. So just a really funny movie there. That movie stars obviously Adam Sandler, but Winona Ryder, John Turturro, who's in a ton of his movies. Peter Gallagher from the OC. Steve Buscemi plays Crazy Eyes. Steve Buscemi's in a ton of Adam Sandler movies. And also Covert, Dante, like I had mentioned, from The Waterboy. John McEnroe makes an appearance in that movie. A lot of really, really good lines in that one. Number three, Big Daddy. Big Daddy is a very underrated movie, in my opinion. A lot of people might not put this in their top five Sandler movies, but I freaking love it. My favorite quote from that movie is, hey, you guys know what rum is? And then a little kid responds, Rumpelstiltskin? He goes, yeah, Rumpelstiltskin's a good man. So are you guys. And he's talking to about a group of five-year-olds. So he's like, hey, stay clean, stay focused, stay strong. Frankenstein, have fun with your friends. So that's just a really, really good movie. But the plot of that movie, Sonny Koufax is a 32-year-old. He's a law school grad. He's got a nice apartment in Manhattan, but there's a problem. He does nothing. He's basically a waste of space. He sits on his ass all day and lives on an investment that was a result of a meager lawsuit from his past. But after his fed up girlfriend leaves him, he comes up with an ingenious idea to adopt a five-year-old boy to showcase his newfound maturity. But things don't go as planned. And Sonny finds himself the unlikely foster father that will change his perspective on looking out for himself. So that movie stars John Stewart, great actor. Oh, here we go. Well, once you find it, I'll play it. John Stewart, Leslie Mann, Rob Schneider, Shemi, Covert, Dante, and Christy Swanson. Oh, this is good.
Lasagna, what the hell's the matter with you? We'll take a hot cake sausage.
Sorry, Sam. That's our new breakfast.
We talked about four separate plates.
Everybody gets up for breakfast at 11:30. Next movie on the list, Billy Madison. And I had a hard time between Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore. But Billy Madison is probably what after SNL is what jump started Sandler's career. He had done other movies, but Billy Madison was sort of the iconic role that everyone thinks of. This wasn't his line in the movie, but one of my favorite lines in the movie is, "If peeing your pants is cool, consider me Miles Davis." You know, the old lady at the field trip they're on. That's so good. In that movie, he's a 27-year-old man whose father, Brian, is the head of a major hotel chain. Even though he is groomed to replace his father, who is about to retire, Billy is extremely immature and unmotivated in life. When Brian considers making Eric Gordon, who Billy hates and despises, his new replacement, Billy decides to prove to his father that he is capable of taking over. He must repeat grade school all over again in 2 weeks, 2 weeks for each grade, in order to take over the hotel empire. The further Billy progresses, the more Eric tries to derail Billy. That movie stars Bridget Wilson Sampras, Pete Sampras's wife, which you might remember as Veronica Vaughn. That Veronica Vaughn. Oh, you got to play that one. Yeah, we're playing that one in a minute. But the further Billy gets, like, just the more antics that go on in that movie. But I mean, for God's sakes, first grade to 12th grade in 2 weeks. You might have a little trouble with the high school math or science, but besides that, come on, you got to be able to pull that down. So go ahead, Joe, we'll play this.
Mr. Madison, what you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Okay, a simple wrong would have done just fine.
So good. So good. And that meme can be basically used anywhere, anytime. Anytime you don't agree with someone, love it. And then finally, Happy Gilmore. But my favorite stuff is the simple stuff about Happy Gilmore. Like when he first like starts holding the golf club and the movers are kind of making fun of him and he's like, "You like that?" Or, finally at the end when he's going to shoot the ball and, take the next shot, shooter gets close to the hole, but he gets closer and he's like, "Somebody's closer." You know, just stuff like that is so, so good. Most of Adam Sandler movies have stuck and hit and done really well. Obviously this list was only five deep. I put some honorable mentions. Click is a good one where you can kind of pause, rewind, go fast forward. Christopher Walken's in that one. Kate Beckinsale. 51st Dates and The Wedding Singer are both really good movies. They both star Drew Barrymore aside Sandler in that. The Longest Yard has Burt Reynolds, a ton of NFL players, a ton of wrestlers. Anger Management, so good. Jack Nicholson. Marissa Tomei, I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry is another really good one with Kevin James. Uncut Gems is kind of a unique, darker Sandler role. It's not necessarily the feel-good comedy or like, you know, kind of goofy character that he normally plays. Grown Ups, it's not one of my favorite movies, but I know a lot of people love that one, and it does have some moments. But Kevin James, David Spade, Chris Rock, Rob Schneider, Tim Meadows, basically all his SNL friends are in those movies. Another movie I do like that's really good is called Just Go With It. And it's with Jennifer Aniston, Nicole Kidman, Brooklyn Decker, the model. Dan Patrick makes cameos in these movies. Dave Matthews makes a cameo in this period. And then, the last honorable mention I wrote, I don't know if it's on my list, but I just wrote it down in my notes because I saw it this past Halloween. It's called Hubie Halloween, and it was on Netflix. It was really goofy and kind of the classic, like, dumb Sandler role, but it was pretty funny. And I think that's a movie you can kind of watch with your family, and, you know, it's just a good one.
You eat shit for breakfast?
No. So good. So good. That one's so good. Misses. Here's some Adam Sandler misses, though. I felt like I had to go on the other side of the coin. Because when you make as many movies as he does, they're not all going to be winners. So here's the one that I personally didn't like. Pixels. It was kind of that video game one where, I don't know, I didn't necessarily love it. There's a movie called That's My Boy. It might be the dumbest of all the Sandler movies. It's just really bad. And he has this awful Boston accent in it. Love Adam Sandler, but just not a very good movie.
You know, my most unfavorite was,
what's that?
Little Nicky.
Oh, I got that. You're coming, like, up on that. Yeah. Is he like the devil?
He's
in
the
that
devil.
Or something?
Yeah. That was an awful one.
I heard, and I can't remember this, but I heard Chubbs Peterson makes a cameo in that.
Really?
Like in his same role.
I didn't remember
role.
That.
Like, because he's in heaven.
Okay.
So I had heard that. I don't know if that's that. True or not. And then I have two more on my list. Jack and Jill.
Yes, that was terrible. So bad.
Does he play like his twin sister as a female too? And then this one has its moments, but I didn't necessarily like it. But Don't Mess with the Zohan or Zohan.
That was more Ben Stiller though, right?
No, it was... I'm not sure who else. You'll have to look up who his co-star is in that one. But I think it's that John Turturro's in that as well. Because they're kind of like... I feel like they play like Iranians or something like that. Schneider. Yeah, John Turturro.
Okay.
John Turturro. Yeah, Mariah Carey's in that. And that's got a whole list of randoms in that. But those are my Sandler, you know, hits and misses. Most of them are hits.
I remember that now.
He has like these freakishly, you know, like great moves and stuff, like karate moves and stuff like that.
Yeah, see, I messed with it. The one where Stiller was that model. Somehow my brain did that. Well,
yeah,
what the heck was that one called?
Zoolander.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Zoolander. And that's with Owen Wilson and who else? Stiller, like you said. And I think Will Ferrell's in that too.
Okay. All right.
So, yeah. All right. So that's my top five Tuesday. Joe, did I miss any?
No, that was pretty thorough. Pretty good.
All right. Very good.
Do you ever listen to any of Sandler's, like stand up or those musical compilations?
I used to have the CD way back when, you know, we're talking about CDs. That tells you how long ago, but, like Lunch Lady Land.
Yes. And, that was the best, know,
stuff like
but
that.
But the other ones that he came, like I went and saw him in concert. It was probably like one of the coolest concerts I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Cause he did all of his musical acts and it was hilarious.
The Hanukkah song.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So live, it was a totally different thing than those compilations. Cause some of those were just stupid. Some of them were just so dumb. Like, what did I just, you know, invest 2 minutes into?
Like off the cuff a little bit too.
Yeah.
Play by ear.
Exactly.
And, okay. All right. Very good. Yeah. He's someone I've kind of grown up with because I was, you know, middle school, high school when he was starting to really become popular. So he's just someone I always remembered from SNL. And then, you know, I think it was 95 was Billy Madison, 96, right back to back. You put those movies, Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison back to back. And I mean, you got an instant star. So
I've invited him on the shows at least 10 times. he's my go-to. Like every Saturday,
okay.
I throw these Hail Mary invitations to every like national celebrity and whatever.
Okay.
I've been doing it for years.
And, okay.
And sometimes they'll write back and just tell me no. And sometimes they'll ignore it. But Adam's, I've done, you know, Rogan and Elon Musk and just about every, you know, high profile person. But one of these times I know I'm going to nail Sandler.
Okay. That would be awesome. That would be so cool to get him. Adam, if you're watching this, we would love for you
to
be on this show. Joe has multiple shows. We'll get you on the network. Anything you want to do, talk about, whatever. We'll make it fun. And so
we both have an appreciation for Veronica Vaughn too. Yes. So come on and join us.
And that's something I have to do a little bit of research on. All his girlfriends in the movie or all his love interests or whatever, Veronica Vaughn, Vicky Valancourt, Virginia Vennett. There's something with the double V there.
Yeah.
So if anyone knows how that is, let us know.
Vicky Valancourt. Yeah. I forgot about her.
That Veronica Vaughn, though, is one fine piece of ace. So let's get to the sports world now. So we are down
that was
now.
20 minutes of getting you off rails here. I love it.
I like it. I mean, I could talk all day about movies and entertainment stuff.
Yeah.
So that's why we always say, look at the title, the 330 Sports Show and more.
Well,
so
let's make it the 330 and more show plus sports.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Maybe eventually we'll rebrand the title, but cause I like the 330 in there, but Yeah. Maybe we could.
3-3 and more show.
Yeah.
It's a little weird grammatically, but
I don't think that
cool.
comes off the tongue smoothly. But if anybody more listening has accurate. Good suggestions, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. We'll think of, we could play with some names in
all
the
right,
future.
Cool. Okay. Sorry, derailed
so,
again.
No. All right, let's go to the NBA. So we are down to the final four in the NBA, and the highlight Joe has on the screen right now. So these are the last four. Obviously, two will remain standing after these Eastern and Western Conference finals. So the last time any of the four remaining teams have been to the NBA finals, the Suns, the last time they made it almost 30 years ago, 1993, the Bucks almost 50 years ago, 1974, the Hawks almost actually 60 years ago, 1961, and the Clippers never. They've never made it to the NBA Finals. So pretty amazing stats there. This is kind of a cool NBA year in the sense of it's anybody's game. It's anybody's game. Lucas and I were talking last week about we had, you know, thought Brooklyn was the favorite, but then Kyrie Irving goes down. That throws a wrench into their plans. James Harden came back, but he was not the same player. And Kevin Durant did everything he could to get them to the Eastern Conference Finals. But just came up literally inches short because he hit a shot to send it to overtime with the Bucks in game seven. And his toe, like just the very end tip of his toe was on the line, or that would have been a three-pointer and they would have won by 1 point. So let's start real quick with the Western Conference Finals. The Clippers came back. This was Friday night, I believe, from 22 down at halftime to knock off the number one Utah Jazz, but lost to Phoenix in game one of the Western Conference Finals. So the number two Suns and the number four Clippers are playing in the West. The Suns right now are currently up 1-0. That game is tonight at 9 o'clock. Phoenix right now, as it currently stands, is a 5-point favorite. However, Phoenix will still be without Chris Paul, who's in COVID-19 protocols. And but on the opposite end, Kawhi Leonard will not be playing for the Clippers. He's still a little bit questionable. So we're seeing, we're kind of just day-to-day on his injury. And Chris Paul, I believe, should be out of the protocol by the next game. So we will see how that plays out. In the Eastern Conference, we have the number three Bucks and the number five Hawks. So no number one seeds are left. Philadelphia is out. Utah is out. And the number two Brooklyn Nets are out too. So we have a lot of one and two seeds out of the playoffs. Atlanta will be at Milwaukee on Wednesday night for game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. The Bucks are the favorites to win the series. I apologize. I don't have an updated line for you as of now, but that line should post soon. But again, a dramatic win over Brooklyn that was Saturday night. Just a great, great game. Kevin Durant did everything he could to win that game for Brooklyn, but just could not get it done. As a team. And Atlanta took advantage of the 76ers meltdowns as well to win game seven and some other games in that series. A lot of people are speculating Ben Simmons for Philadelphia could have played his last game in a Sixers uniform, and a possible landing spot for the former number one overall pick could be Cleveland. So we will keep an eye on that. I'm going to talk to you about the NBA draft lottery here in a minute. But before we do that, I do want to run it back a little bit with Tyronn Lue. So everybody probably remembers, that's a Cavs fan, remembers Ty Lue in his time with the Cavaliers. He was the coach that got them over the hump. Obviously, you had LeBron, you had Kevin Love, you had Kyrie Irving, and some nice other players on that team. But, you still got to get it done. So that was he was the head coach of the team that beat that 72-win Warriors team with Curry, with, you know, Klay Thompson, with Draymond Green, all the other cast of characters there. But that was the first time the Cavaliers or the city of Cleveland won a title in 52 years. So he has now led the Los Angeles Clippers to the Western Conference Finals for the first time in 51 years. So the common denominator there, Tyronn Lue, getting it done. I am going now my updated picks, and I have a little bit of a head start since the Suns already have a 1-0 lead, but I'm going to go with Phoenix to win this series in six games over the Clippers. So I like Phoenix to win the series 4-2. I like the Bucks to win in 5 games over the Hawks. So 4-1. And then in the NBA Finals, I'm just shooting my shot now. The Suns versus the Bucks, and I'm going to go the Suns in 6 games. Hey, Lucas, I know you're in the back. What's your prediction for the NBA Finals? Can you hear me?
He's contemplating.
Contemplate it and let me know in a minute. Let me know in a minute. While he's thinking about that, and Joe, think about it too, who you want. I'm going to bring up what's called a website called Tankathlon. And Tankathlon basically puts the draft lottery simulator. So you can kind of play it like a little bit of a game, and it shows you the team's odds and their you know, best percentages. So if we're just looking at strictly the Cavaliers, they have the 5th best odds at the number one selection. They have to get a top 4 pick, they have a 45.1% chance, but to get the number one overall pick, they have an 11.5% overall chance. So what we can do, and if anybody wants to visit this lottery, it's just kind of for fun, but it's called Tankathlon or tankathon.com. So you just hit the simulated lottery, and it shuffles the teams, and it shows you the pick. So in this case, it would have the Cavs picking 7th, Detroit, Houston, Chicago, Minnesota, Orlando. So let me reset it real quick, and then we'll run that back. So right now, the best odds to win are the Houston Rockets, the Detroit Pistons, and the Orlando Magic, all at 14% to get the number one pick. Oklahoma City and the Cavs basically have even odds for a top 5 pick. Then Minnesota's pick, if it is not in the top 5, will go to Golden State. Toronto's up there in the top 7. I believe the lowest the Cavs can pick is number 8, but ideally the Cavs want a top 3 pick. Overall, number 1 would be the best situation, but let's just run a few simulations on here. So this one has the Cavs picking 6. Do it again. Run it back. That time they got the number 1 pick.
Boom. So can't stop. Lock it.
We're done. We're not doing any more simulations. So it took what? 4 tries to get the number 1 pick. So
unlocked.
You know, so that's about right. So, but you know, Cade Cunningham is the consensus number 1 overall player. He would be a perfect fit for the Cavs. He's about 6'8", swing. He can score, great defender. So that's who they need. But, you know, right now the Cavs are just a mysterious team, and I don't necessarily love their front office situation, but you know, they got to get their shit together, and they got to get this pick right, and they have to start developing these guys, or they're going to have to make some moves in the offseason to change this team, because you can't keep running it back year after year after year, now 3 years in a row of just bad losing seasons. So all right, Lucas, what you got? Oh, you're going Atlanta and Phoenix. Okay. Atlanta and Phoenix. And who do you like to win? Yeah, I think didn't you pick Brooklyn over the Suns? Okay. 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 Yeah. Okay. All right. So you like Phoenix right now. So Joe, who do you like in Phoenix? If you got to pick one, Phoenix or LA?
I'm doing coin flips because I have no idea. Yeah. I'm not even paying attention. It's all right. So we'll go Phoenix.
All right. Phoenix. Phoenix seems to be the favorite right now. Or how about Milwaukee or Atlanta?
Atlanta.
Okay. All right. So Joe and Lucas are in Atlanta. I'm on Milwaukee. And then everybody seems to like Phoenix. So we'll see how that plays out. And that's a real quick look at the NBA. So, you know, we'll check in on that as it continues to unfold. In Major League Baseball, so the Indians have had some good news and bad news of late. Bad news this past weekend, they lost 2 of 3 to the Pirates. They did win the game on Sunday, and they won last night versus the Cubs. So their overall record, they're sitting at 40-30, 10 games over 500, pretty good. They're only 1.5 games back of the Chicago White Sox. 1.5 games back. Pretty awesome. However, here's the bad news. Last night, probably one of their all-stars, Aaron Civale, might be heading to the IL because he's day-to-day right now. He'll see a hand specialist. He had to leave the game in the fifth inning with some sort of injury to his ring finger. And obviously, if you're pitching and you're with that type of velocity and just force that you're putting on your hands every single pitch, we'll see how that goes. Hopefully, you know, cross your fingers, he's just day-to-day, maybe misses one start and can get back in the rotation. We remember what happened to Zach Plesac aggressively taking his shirt off and broke his thumb, but he is actually back on rehab right now, so hopefully they get him back soon. And then last week, earlier on in the week, Shane Bieber, the reigning Cy Young Award winner, will be out at least 2 more weeks. He has some sort of shoulder nagging injury. So
what is with pitchers hurting their throwing hand? I mean, this is like every year there's somebody getting rotors, cutting your finger on the rotors of a drone, mm-hmm. Taking your shirt off. This is just weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The weird injuries are strange. The Indians used to have this prospect, and this is going back a few years, but his name was Adam Miller, and he was their number one draft pick. He was the most highly touted guy they had in their farm system. And I'm talking 10, 12 years ago or so. But he would always have these hand injuries and he could just never overcome them. So he just like fizzled out in the minors because he was never healthy. So whatever it is with these, I think it's just an unnatural force on your body, and some guys can overcome it and some guys just can't. And hopefully these are minor injuries, but their top three pitchers, actually, if you go back to the very beginning of the season, their top four pitchers are not in the rotation right now. So Shane Bieber right now on the IL, Zach Plesac on the IL, Aaron Civale maybe on the IL, and Tristan McKenzie, who is their fourth starter right now, is in AAA because he's just a really young kid and they don't want to like damage his psyche, but they're going to need to call him up, just to eat some innings. They also, listen to this, Franmil Reyes, who was their best hitter at the time he got hurt, is just starting an IL stint. He's been out for about 5 weeks. Roberto Perez, their starting catcher, has been out for roughly 10, 12 weeks. And hopefully we'll start his rehab next week. Their backup catcher is on the injured list right now because he is in concussion protocol. So he's out for a week. And then they have another injury in the outfield, Jordan Luplow, who's an okay outfielder, but he's on the 60-day DL right now. So I don't know what the Indians' answer is right now. They do have a really nice record, but
to almost get swept by the Bucks.
Yeah, I know. Pirates, not a very good team. But I will trade a couple Indians losses for Browns wins over the Steelers any day. But hopefully the Indians can still, keep up mostly strong momentum. They took four games last week from Baltimore. They took the first game last night in Chicago against the Cubs. They play them again tonight. And then they got a big series against Minnesota this weekend. But we don't know who the hell's going to pitch in any of those games.
Right.
The good thing is if they can get 4 to 6 innings, they have a solid bullpen that can close it out. But they need to get those first four or five innings. Just keep the team in the game. You know what I'm saying? So,
but if you're going to go on a little slump or some injuries, do it early in the season. Yeah. And then, get to the midsummer and you want to be healthy.
Yeah. We're approaching close to the midpoint of the season.
Oh, you're right.
But we need to, 40-30, it's 70 games in, 81 would be halfway point. So hopefully,
get
these injuries out of the way. And then hopefully, like you said, we can close the season strong.
I think I might be able to pitch if they want to call me up for these. I could get it within 5 runs. I think I'll keep it close.
If you could go and pitch a major league game and only give up 5 runs, I mean, you should be pitching for the Indians right now. That's pretty impressive. That's pretty impressive.
I don't think I can. I'm all talk.
I used to pitch a lot. Throughout my, middle school, high school. I even played up until I was about, 19, 20 years old, like, you know, playing summer ball. And I was always a really good pitcher. I was never a good hitter, but I could always pitch. But the top speed I ever topped out on my fastball was 82 miles an hour. These guys, like the slowest pitchers, throw like 89, 90. You know what I mean? So I think right now if I tried, I could probably hit like mid 70s, but I'd probably throw my arm out doing that. So.
Well, the only gauge you get is if you go to the carnivals, and I don't think those things are accurate.
No,
those, I just those, don't.
Yeah. Are these regulation size or what? All right. So I want to switch now to the NFL, and I'll bring up a visual here in a minute, but this is not, hopefully in the future, this is not something that will become newsworthy eventually. And this is not something I really even care to touch on, but it is noteworthy. But Raiders defensive lineman Carl Nassib, you might remember the Browns actually drafted this guy maybe 5 years ago or so. He's also played for the Buccaneers, and now he's with the Vegas Raiders. But he came out as the first NFL player to announce he's gay. And he basically just put out an Instagram post and said, "What's up, people? I just wanted to take a quick moment to say I'm gay. I don't mean to laugh. I'm just, the way he said it was funny. I've been meaning to do this for a while, but now it finally feel comfortable getting it off my chest." So you could imagine, and you know, I don't want to stay on this topic too long, but I just say good for him for being comfortable enough to make that announcement. I don't care if you're black or white or gay or straight. It doesn't matter to me. If he's on my football team, I just want him to play well. You know, that's all I really care about. And hopefully, you know, I'm sure there will be some backlash, but I'm sure he will garner a lot more support from players, from the league, from other outside groups. So
there's a proportionality between if somebody can kick your ass and the backlash, and if they could kick your ass, there's less backlash.
That's a great point. Yeah. I remember seeing him at a Cavs game a few years back, and he's a large human being.
Big dude.
I do want to mention what Roger Goodell said, because, you know, he's the commissioner of the league. And I thought this was a really nice statement. And he said, "The NFL family is proud of Carl for courageously sharing his truth today." Goodell said in a statement, "Representation matters. We share his hope that someday soon these statements like this will no longer be newsworthy," which is a good point, "as we march forward toward equality for the LGBTQ community. We wish Carl the best of luck this coming season." So again, I just wanted to touch on that. It was newsworthy. And again, hopefully, like Goodell said in that statement, hopefully one day it won't be newsworthy. Personally, I don't give a shit.
Well, this is the first time that Goodell has said anything that I didn't feel like booing him.
Yeah,
right, I think right. It's the first time.
Yeah. So that was a well-structured statement, which I'm sure his attorney wrote somebody from the NFL. So other news and notes from around the NFL. And by the way, as I share this stuff, it is so refreshing to not have this stuff be anything about the Browns, especially these next two stories. So this past weekend, Kansas City Chiefs defensive end Frank Clark was arrested in LA after police saw a submachine gun in his car, basically a freaking Uzi. So Clark, who is 28 years old, was pulled over for vehicle violation at about 9:20 on Sunday. LAPD said, "Hey, there's basically an Uzi sticking out of in plain sight in the car." So he was jailed and released on $35,000 bond.
How's it concealed? It's on the freaking seat.
Yeah.
Concealed is not on the front seat.
What
do people have wrong with having Uzis?
I can understand, like, you know, we're not getting into a Second Amendment argument here, but this is a sports and entertainment show. We're not a political show, but you know, I respect if you want to be a gun owner and stuff, but not a freaking Uzi. Those things should not be in anyone's hands unless they're strictly military, and I don't even think military needs that stuff. So I don't want to ruffle anyone's feathers out there, but again, that's just my opinion.
But when you say that you're glad this isn't a Browns problem, mm-hmm. I mean, this was totally in the Browns camp.
This was right
4 years ago.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Totally in the Browns wheelhouse. You know, they just had an offensive lineman about a year and a half ago, that Greg, I forget his last name, but he was a former top pick in the NFL, and he had like dozens of pounds, if not hundreds of pounds of marijuana in his car, trying to cross over into Canada. And, you know, obviously we know about Josh Gordon and Johnny Manziel, and I'm sure there's been other incidents.
Speed chases, speeding, yeah, drugs. Right, I mean, the whole thing.
Exactly.
You know, so, like Maserati going 120 miles an hour down 70.
In a school zone or something, you know, like something stupid like that. So, so maybe Frank Clark will be suspended game one against the Browns. So,
maybe,
you know, but hopefully, you know, just that kind of shit bothers me. So, we don't need this next slide yet, but on the other side of that coin, Minnesota, he actually played at Pitt for college, but Minnesota Vikings rookie defensive lineman Jalen Twyman is expected to make a full recovery after being shot four times Monday while visiting a family member in Washington, D.C. So this is another incident of like why, you know, being in the wrong place at the wrong time, but this guy did nothing wrong. He was literally visiting a family member. He, listen to how tough this guy is too. He walked himself into the hospital. He was an innocent bystander in a car, wrong place, wrong time. They said they did x-rays. There are no broken bones, no ligament damage. So he should be okay. They're basically flesh wounds, which is easy for me to say as someone was shot four times, but, he should, recover fine. But again, if we don't have Uzis and stuff out there, none of this shit happens. But oh, okay, we're moving on. We're moving on. We're going now to the miscellaneous sports. So, you know, we mentioned Happy Gilmore. We're going to be talking about that. This past weekend, John Rahm won the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines in California. You might remember we did a story just about a week ago on John Rahm. He was or about 2 weeks ago, he was the unfortunate individual. He was leading the Memorial Golf Tournament in Columbus, and they pulled him. So he shoots a 64 to tie the Memorial 54-hole scoring record, and he was leading by six shots. After finishing on the 18th green after round three, he was forced to withdraw, which basically means you get no money, you get nothing, you're just eliminated, you're expelled from the tournament, had to go and self-quarantine, and then, you know, passes his COVID protocol ahead of the U.S. Open, and then in the final two holes, he birdied the final two holes on 17 and 18 on Sunday in round four to win his first major title. This guy will quickly become the number one player in the world, in my opinion, in the golf world. By the end of the season, he is just a great golfer, and I love his intensity. And he's just a good dude, and he's a fun guy to watch. He shows a lot of intensity on the golf course, and like Happy Gilmore, like Tiger Woods in the past. That's what we like about golf too. You know, the common person likes to see him, you know, pumping their fists and stuff like that.
Do you think he sort of has the personality to sort of carry that brand to the normal viewer?
I think so. Yeah. I think so. Like, he's not out of control by any means or anything like that. He's not
riding the bull.
Yeah, he's not doing that stuff, or, you know, but he shows intensity when needed. He is not an American. I forget what country he's from, but you know, so that might, but in the golf world, you sort of just find guys you like that have cool personalities, that are good dudes, and you just kind of root for them. That's the cool thing about golf. You're not really rooting against anyone. You're kind of just hoping people do well. So, John Rahm, congratulations. You know, great event. And Torrey Pines, beautiful course, by the way. And I just thought that was cool because it kind of went along with the Happy Gilmore theme that we're going to be doing later in the week. And by the way, I won't tell you John Rahm's score because it's a little trivia question that's going to be for Thursday, but John Rahm and Happy Gilmore finished with the same score. Ooh. Under par.
Coincidence? So
I think not. I think they know the 330 Sports Show in Youngstown, Ohio. John Rahm knew that and was like, I got to finish with that score.
His branding's all coming together.
I do want to talk really, really quick. I'm going to spend about a minute on the NHL. So remember we were talking about the NHL and Canada basically would not let American teams cross over into Canada, Canadian teams cross over. So basically stay in your own country, you stay in your own country. But they did finally allow teams to cross over the border because now they're into the Hockey Final Four, much like we're in the you know, NBA Final Four. So the NHL did let the Canadians, the Montreal Canadiens, and the Las Vegas Knights cross over the borders. So Montreal and Vegas are tied up at 2 games apiece. They're in game 5, which will be played soon. And in the other side of the bracket, Tampa Bay, the Tampa Bay Lightning lead 3-2 over the New York Islanders in the hockey Final Four. So those two teams will play. Well, the two winners of those series will match up in the Final Four, or I'm sorry, in the Stanley Cup, I should say. All right. So now another miscellaneous sports note from 2004, I believe this was, but we just this past weekend celebrated the 17-year anniversary of the release of Dodgeball, A True Underdog Story. So I want to remind people that never forget that Globo Gym, led by White Goodman, blew a 4-man advantage over the Average Joe's gymnasium. So you can see the starting lineups here. You got Peter LaFleur, Kate Viach. I hope I pronounced that right.
Viach.
That
sounded right.
Viach. Justin Redman, Owen Dittman, Gordon Pibb, Dwight Bumgarner, or Bumgarden, and then versus White Goodman, Michelle Jones, Blazer, and Fran. Oh, but I'm not even going to try to pronounce it.
Stalin Vatninok.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, we'll go with that. So what Joe said. So I just thought that was a fun way to incorporate Dodgeball. I don't think we've ever brought Dodgeball into the show besides the movie bracket. So
and we did refer to the Ocho.
Yes. We have talked about the Ocho before. You are correct. All right. So we have two stories to close. One is sports related. One is not. We're going to start with the non-related sports story. However, the non-related sports story took place in Northeast Ohio. So we're going to play this story. It happened at a McDonald's in Ravenna, Ohio. Most of you have probably seen this by now. And I did not take the unedited like Facebook version. What I did was found a news clip from a news organization up in Cleveland. And I thought this would be the best way to share it, you know, to keep our language. And you kind of can get some backstory on this. So let me go ahead and we'll play this for you and take a look.
Darce, now.
Right now, 6 o'clock, this woman not loving it at McDonald's, going on a vicious attack all over. Get this, a slushie? Yeah, earlier today, she was in court for her McMeltdown. Good evening, I'm Tiffany Tucker. Chris Tanaka has the evening off. 19 News was right there as she faced a judge with a face full of tears. RCN New Yorker was in court. She has more on the disturbing video that landed her in jail next to the Hamburglar, Sia.
Tiffany Hamburglar, Ronald McDonald, Grimace, the whole crew. Listen, this video's gone viral. And it all started when that woman asked the employees to mix 3 flavors of slushy. When they told her they couldn't, she jumped behind the counter and got violent.
You hit me and her.
Take a look at this video. That's Cherise Cleveland losing it Monday morning after McDonald's employees told her they couldn't fulfill her drink order, 3 different slushy flavors mixed together.
Do not touch my boss!
Not being able to have a good time or great taste, police say that's when the 44-year-old woman jumped behind the counter and started an all-out food fight, throwing punches and slapping workers in the face. This is cell phone video from Brian Allen, who started rolling when things got violent.
When you're in public, you have to be so careful because somebody always has a camera.
He also rolled on the workers defending themselves. Here's Cherise on the ground as they try to restrain her. This video has been shared thousands of times on social media and has made headlines around the world. Police arrested Cherise Cleveland on assault charges and she was booked into the Portage County Jail. Tuesday afternoon at Ravenna Muni Court, Cherise Cleveland faced a judge via teleconference, trembling, crying, and grimacing with remorse. Prosecutors told the judge Cleveland is a danger to others.
While this behavior is unacceptable under any circumstances, the fact that it all started over a drink is completely illogical and offensive to all reasonable sensibilities.
The judge set her bond at $1,000 and issued a stern warning.
You're to have no contact with the alleged victims in this matter, and you are not to return to McDonald's for any reason why this matter is pending. Do you understand?
The lobby of this McDonald's is closed here to customers. Now, as for Sharice, she's still in jail and she has a court date that's pending. You can count on 19 News to keep you updated on this one on air and online. Reporting live in Ravenna, CNN New Yorker, 19 News.
Okay, so I thought that was newsworthy. If you want to see the whole video, go ahead and just search McDonald Ravenna fight. But what do you think, Joe?
I'm proud of us.
Have you ever wanted a slushy so bad mixed? What three? I didn't even know McDonald's sold slushies. So maybe like now cherry. I don't even know what cherry. Do they make like a Coke flavor? Didn't there used to be, remember at Hills and places like that, there was like cherry. There was like cherry, right? And then there was like a Coke flavor.
Yeah.
So I would mix it. But if those employees told me, you know, I was really young at the time, I wouldn't throw a fight, you know, get in a fight. But
see, maybe business is not so great and mm-hmm. that they staged this for the publicity. Might have been total inside job.
Whole conspiracy theory by Joe. Okay.
It's so absurd. Okay. It has to be. That would make me feel better, actually.
But the publicity. And I think they even said it on the news. But they go, ba-da-ba-ba-ba, not loving it. So it is what it is. It is what it is. But that was worth sharing. And unfortunately, or fortunately, that did not happen near enough to Youngstown. But you know, shit happens, I guess. So, and then we're going to go from one fight in Ohio to one fight in Kentucky. However, this one deals with sports and it deals with Little League parents. Would you stop ruining everything, Little League parents? We're going to take a watch on this video.
T-ball game abruptly ended in Powell County last night after coaches and parents got into a fight over a disputed call. The people involved could now face criminal charges. As Evening Edition's Michael Burke reports, people in the community say they lost sight of why they came to that ball field in the first place.
Last night's Little League title game was about crowning a champion. Turns out everyone lost when an apparent disputed call led to this altercation between parents and coaches from the opposing teams. A sad ending to a T-ball game in Powell County involving kids barely old enough to even know what the score was at the time it happened.
Most of these little guys, they don't care whether they win or lose. They just want to have fun, spend time with their friends, and play baseball. And that's what I really focused on them doing.
Jesse Alexander coached his son's baseball team for a couple of years before the perils of it sent him back to the bleachers.
Overall effect of coaching everybody's kids.
An incident like this is precisely what he was trying to avoid. Now it could lead to criminal charges, as Stanton police say they are investigating and could bring their findings to the county attorney. Most of those in attendance we spoke with preferred to keep their statements on social media, and that includes the coaches. Steve Randall and Jimmy Smith acknowledge wrongdoing. Randall used Facebook to invite Coach Smith and his team back to the diamond to resume the game and finish it the right way. He also sent LEX18 a statement, which read in part that mistakes were made and that parents should never enter the field of play as it escalates matters. Randall, who apparently has a strong track record for coaching teams here, also said he'd work hard to further the growth of his kids as well as his own. One can only hope the kids can put this behind them, like a coach might tell them to, after striking out.
We all sort of get upset over a call. But so what? You go back and play. Yeah, you move on.
Advice that would have been great for folks to follow here about 24 hours ago in Powell County. Michael Burke for Evening Edition.
So once again, to reference Adam Sandler in The Wedding Singer, like what that last guy said, something that could have been brought to my attention yesterday. I mean, these parents are... I mean, the plainest way to say it are assholes. I mean, what the hell is the matter with you? You are at a Little League game. A Little League game. If even if this was high school or college and there was a missed call, okay, you might say a few more things. You do not go on the field. You do not go on the field. So let's run it back. These kids are eight years old, let's say. And what that guy wrote, what the one coach wrote, pisses me off too, because he's like, let's just bring him back and, you know, like, let's make them co-champions and everybody gets a trip. No. And, you know, these kids are the ones that are going to end up getting punished. And like I said before, I understand we live in a trophy culture, and I am not someone that believes everyone deserves a trophy. You get what you deserve. However, these kids are really young. That's fine. They can all get a trophy. But in this particular circumstance, I almost think it's more beneficial to say you don't get a trophy because of the way your dumbass parents act. Maybe you leave that dumbass part out when you're talking to the kids, but you know what I'm saying.
Oh yeah.
So what, give me your impressions or thoughts on this.
Yeah. I mean, and the kids lose out essentially. And what we model for them as the mm-hmm. worst thing is because, mm-hmm. you know, something goes, I mean, there are injustices no matter where you go. And sure. sometimes as an adult, you have to like really, you know, sort of like filter yourself from what you really want to say and not cause a spectacle. So what do you model for these kids? When you get upset, when you don't agree with the call, you bring the whole thing down?
Exactly. And, you know, I think anyone out there who's ever been a coach has disagreed with a call. They've also been criticized by parents. That's part of the job. That's part of it. But, you know, parents who overstep is just an embarrassment to the game. And I don't care if that game is baseball, football, basketball, softball, hockey, whatever sport, it's embarrassing. And these parents need to be put in place. Hopefully some of those people end up in jail, because I heard there was one guy that took his shirt off and was trying to start a fight with somebody. This video kind of just gave us the clean version of it. But you know, they're swearing in front of their kids. They're fighting, they're throwing punches. They're, you know, probably posting stuff on social media. It's just an embarrassment.
There's two guys on that field that get to disagree with the referees and a coach on either team. Mm-hmm. They go have the discussion. They let them know that they think it was a missed call.
Yeah.
And that's the end of it.
Right. And at the end of the day too, when it's 8-year-olds, okay, they miss a call. Who cares?
Yep.
Who cares? You know, like everyone's going to make mistakes. I get that. Some calls are bigger than others. I get that. This is not even a high school championship game, you know, and in the professionals, we have replay now that can address that kind of stuff where there's mistakes. But again, these people umping this game probably made $30, you know, for the game too. So again, they're put in a bad spot. It's just a black eye for the sport. It's a black eye for that town. And those parents hopefully will live with shame for a long, long time, and their kids will be okay because of that, or grow, learn from this in a positive way, not necessarily a negative way.
What was that Dodgers coach that would be real animated, kicking dirt on the umpires?
Tommy Lasorda.
Tommy Lasorda. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There was the start of it, right?
Tommy Lasorda used to spend some time here in Youngstown too. Really? By the way, so yeah, he's a big Italian guy. He's gonna find all the restaurants. But. I had to share that because I would love anyone watching this or listening later. You don't have to comment live, but you know, anyone listening, commenting, please feel free to share your thoughts, because I really want other people's opinion. My daughter's too young right now to play, you know, she's only two, but parents of kids in Little League or, you know, middle school, high school, whatever it might be, let me know your thoughts, because I just want an overall opinion, because I know I've been to some places and parents act ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. And it's embarrassing. And they're a different person in the stands than they are in real life, or a different person on social media than they are in real life. And to me, that's just, you know, I don't want to go on down a rabbit hole.
So let me flip this on you, Mr. Basketball Sure. Coach. You Yeah. were always nice and refraining from arguing with referees when you were coach, right?
I in my career, I've had, and I coached for 12 seasons. I had 3 technical fouls. However, I had 2 technical fouls in 5 seconds. So I was ejected from one game against Warren Harding. This was it was actually the day after my daughter was born. So maybe I had a little extra juices flowing, but I had, and and I never swore, I never disrespected. So I will tell you my the real quick. I'll make this a 1 minute story. So, I was like stomping my feet. I tend to do that a little bit, but I always walked the sideline. I was a pacer. This game was really, really physical. So, you know, I was coaching for Boardman. Warren Harding, was a really physical, scrappy team, and they were athletic and they were good. And so were we. And it was just a very close competitive game. So this is right before halftime. And I had just had enough. One of my better players was diving for a loose ball, and another girl from the opposite team jumped on top of her. My girl's head hit the floor, and I just had enough at that point. Because one, I said something like, and I can't remember verbatim, it's over 2 years ago, but I said something like, your missed calls are going to get one of my girls hurt. You know, something like that. He teed me up, and this was going into halftime. And here's what I said. I said, you teed me up for that. That's garbage. Boom. Teed me up again, threw me out of the game. So I got, by the way, too, if you get thrown out of a high school game, you're suspended for 2 games, whether it's right or wrong. And you have to pay $100 fine and take like this little anger management class. So I had some parents that messaged me or emailed me after that game. And it made me feel really good because they said, thanks for protecting our players. And, they said that was absolutely just ridiculous that referee threw you out. And I had one person offer to even pay my fine, but I said, no, I'm going to do it. I'll take responsibility. And I apologized to my team. I said, you know, I shouldn't have pointed at the referee. That's what I probably shouldn't have done. But I learned from it. You know, it happens, whatever. I tended to have conversations with the ref. Could you explain to them what they did wrong so they don't do it again? Stuff like that.
More effective.
Or I would
right?
say sir or miss, because you want to be respectful. You don't want to overstep and you don't want to be rude and you don't want to be ridiculous. But that was my other story. And so happened to be the other technical foul I got was probably about 5 years previous, also against Warren Harding. One time, the time I got thrown out, I was coaching girls. The other time I got the technical, I was coaching boys. And so that's that.
All right.
So,
then you see that you get caught up in the emotion of it. It gets ratcheted up.
Yeah.
And now other parents start, you know, chiming in there. I can see where it happens, but we got to be better than that.
Exactly. And at the end of the day, it's a game. It's a sport. You have fun with it. And your job is to set a good example for these kids.
Amen.
Whether it's 8-year-olds or high school kids or college kids, you know, professionals, maybe a different level. So things can get a little more heated there, but there's still no room for fighting or any of that stuff. So we'll close with that. You know, as we will prepare for a breakdown of Happy Gilmore on Thursday, which does involve a fight between Bob Barker and Happy Gilmore, which did win Best Fight in the 1996 MTV Movie Awards, by the way. So good show today. Appreciate everybody watching, listening. Make sure to share this out with anyone you think is interested. And we will be back on Thursday for a loaded episode of Happy Gilmore, a full complete breakdown. So appreciate you guys tuning in. We will talk to you on Thursday.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.